There's also the faith of Joseph, and there's the folly of his older brothers. And we want to learn that we don't make the same mistakes, especially of the men of folly, but that we grow in grace and knowledge of Christ and walk by faith, as did Abraham. So tonight is Abraham. Yeah, well, there we have a picture of Lot and Abraham. And I think that's a picture of Jacob and Esau. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, come to you in Jesus' name, that you would stand with your servant in pulpit, God, and lead the discussion and lead the teaching tonight. I confess that without you, I can do nothing. And Lord, I pray that you would help yourself to your servant to lead in this discussion. And Lord, and to lead out in teaching. And we'll be very careful to give you all the honor and the glory, for you alone are worthy. Wash me in the blood, open my mouth, loose my tongue, and anoint me to prophesy and teach and preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with Abraham. And the book of Genesis, just real quick. I had taught Genesis at IGO for 7 straight years. I love the book of Genesis. And I would take the first 11 chapters, we basically do more, expository, and or you might say more of a, but when I get to chapter 12, I do these profiles of faith and folly. And the students there have told me they really appreciate that. It's an eye-opener of growing in grace and knowledge and learning that we don't make the same mistakes of folly like some of these men did. In John chapter 5, verse 45, we find that why is it important to study the book of Genesis? Jesus said in John chapter 5, in verse 45, 6, and 7, and I'm going to be going fast because this is a 3-week study, and I'm going to try and cram it into 5 nights. So put your seatbelts on. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 45, he said this, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust." Speaking to the Jews here, Jesus. "For had you believed Moses, ye would have believed in me. For he wrote of me, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" There Jesus clearly reminds us, I'm suggesting to you, that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Yes, so, just a reminder, great men of God are not just naturally born great men of God. It's not a natural thing. How does a great man of God, a great man of faith, become a great man of faith? A man becomes a great patriarch of faith because of the way he walks with his God in everyday life. We would call it walking, living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yes, this needs to be said. Now, normally I'm teaching young people, maybe in India or at IGO. So profiles of faith and folly, profile number 1, I already told you this. Abraham, a profile of faith, truly a man of true greatness of the Scripture, is this man of Abraham. I trust you believe and understand that true greatness can only be found in God, amen, by faith. True greatness cannot be found in the world. Cannot be found in the political arena. It cannot be found in the sports arena. True greatness, my dearly beloved, can only be found in God. Let me test you. 12 spies sent into Canaan's land. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Give me one of the names of those bad guys. Who said that? Somebody wasn't listening, or even my talk was muddled. He was one of the good guys, Rodney. Are you the one that said that? No. It was, Anyhow, it doesn't matter who it was. You see, we don't know the names of the bad guys. Of course not. Who cares about those guys? We know the names of Caleb and Joshua. because they were men of faith and they believed in God. Yes, true greatness can only be found in God. Now, follow me on your paper. The marks of men and women of faith. I'm going to take these right out of Abraham. Abraham, the father of all them who believe. Romans 4:12. Somebody, quickly, read it. Romans 4:12. Do I have a volunteer? Yes, over here, brother. Sorry, don't know your name. Probably should. Romans 4:12. What this verse is basically saying is, Abraham is the father of faith. All who believe, for us it's Jesus Christ, or believe in God, he is our father. He was the first one that was the father of faith. We know what a father is. A father is someone who originates something. William Carey, the father of missions. Isaac Newton, the father of modern science. Abraham is the father of all those who believe. So he is our father of faith. So we need to study what his faith looked like. Yes, the character of Abraham's faith. Abraham believed God and left his country. Abraham heard God's voice and left his country. God said, if you leave your country, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the nations or families of the earth are going to be blessed. Many, many years ago, it's about 30 years ago, God said that to me. He said, son, I got to work for you. I want to bless you in my work. But you got to get off the farm. You got to sell the cows. You gotta sell your business. You gotta leave your father's house. It was the father's farm. You've got to leave it behind. If you want my blessing, I say, God, it doesn't matter what it costs. We sold the business. We moved off dad's farm. He was not very happy with us. He was expecting us to take it. And we sold the cows and the equipment. We sold out as it was for the Lord, for his blessing. In the call upon our lives. I'm not saying he's asking you to do that, but he did us. And I have sometimes staggered at how easy it would have been to miss what God had for us. He had a work for us that was going to take us around the world again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. But I had to leave my country, and so did Abraham. I can identify with Abraham. He went out not knowing whether he was going. So did we. We went out from all that was known to step into the unknown for his blessing and to do his work. We did it by faith. We didn't know where we were going. We did not know what God had for us. He just said, I have a work for you. Make yourself free. Make yourself loose. And begin to walk by faith, trusting me. It was the greatest, the most exciting, adventurous journey we've ever been on. And we thank God for it. Glennie asked me to do some of that, okay? So I told him I might slip a little in. He gave up certainty for uncertainty. So did we. We gave up certainty for uncertainty. I mean, my roots were so deep in the farm that they stuck out the top in blue towers. They're called harvestors, for those of you that have any farming experience. We left behind all certainty to move into uncertainty, but trusting the Lord for what he had for us. We surrendered the seen for the unseen, and so did Abraham, because he had faith in the Lord. Sometimes I wonder if we still have that kind of faith in the Lord. We stepped out totally by faith. People said, we're nuts. You're nuts. You're walking away from everything that we want. You
want. I said, no, it's not what I want. I want God's gift.
You know, it's all right to be a nut when you're screwed solidly and soundly onto the bolt of Jesus Christ. With some Loctite by faith, okay? Yeah. Okay, so there's a map of Abraham's journey. I'm not going to give you a map of my journey. I'm not going to bore you with that. Okay, so there's a map of Abraham's journey. He left Ur of the Chaldees into Canaan. Let's keep going. Character of Abram's faith. Let's keep developing. Abraham believed in God in the face of long delays. 24 years to be exact. Hey, if I'm going too fast and you want to write some things down, just let me know, okay? Most of you have phones in your pockets, and I don't know who to ask here. But in India, these places, when I teach, somebody just whips the phone out and takes a picture of the slide. Is that okay? You can do that. That way you don't have to write it down. Yes. Abraham believed in God amid difficulties that seemed humanly impossible. Abraham was 100 years old and his wife was 99 when they had their, I don't think those numbers are quite right, their second child, Abraham's second. I think he was younger when Ishmael was born. And there were other things as well that ended up being delayed blessings. Sorry about that. Abraham believed God and raised his knife to sacrifice Isaac, the promised son. And there was no promise of another son. Abraham believed that God could raise him from the dead. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. Abraham had faith that was not processed through human ability, human comprehension. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed in the Lord. Here's a signal verse for Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis 15 verse 6. This is a signal verse for Abraham's faith. I encourage you, if you would wish to, I'm going to read this one. Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. The Bible says, Genesis. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That little word in, that prepositional word in, is a very important word. You see, there's many people say that they believe the Lord, but God can't seem to tell them anything. God can't seem to tell them that it's important to go and make disciples of all nations. God can't seem to tell them that it's important to go and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the problem? They say they believe the Lord, but Abraham believed in the Lord. I could keep on going. God can't seem to tell them, many people, that divorce is wrong. On and on I could go. But Abraham is different. He believed in the Lord. Is there a difference between believing somebody or believing in somebody? Think about it. The little prepositional word in is the key to Abram's faith. And I'd love to tell you a story here, but that clock's going to get... Yeah, I'm just going to summarize it here. Abraham believed in the character of the Lord. The unfailing faithfulness of God. Abraham believed in the Lord, not just the words, but he believed in the one that spoke the words. There's a big difference. You see, if I would tell you that we're out in the middle of a desert and I would tell you that it's going to rain tomorrow and it never rained before, you might say, well, I'm not sure. But if everything I had ever said before always came true, then you would believe in me and you would believe it's going to rain. That's Abraham's faith. Somehow Abraham knew that God cannot fail. If he says something, it will come to pass. He believed in the unfailing faithfulness of the Lord. Let's go on. Abraham, leave your country. Where do you want me to go? Abraham, you don't need to know. Just pack your bags and go by faith. Walk by faith. Hey, I want to know where I'm going. I mean, I'm a good Mennonite. I figure all out and I read all the fine print. Whatever you want to put in there. I want to know everything. No. Abraham, pack your bags and leave your country. God never told him where he's going. But he put his faith shoes on and started walking. And when he got where he was going, there was a grievous famine in the land. Wow. Made no logical sense whatsoever. A grievous famine. Can you imagine the devil coming to Abraham's ears and saying, yeah, that's what you get for not knowing everything. Walking by faith and taking that kind of advice seriously. You can go right through Abram's life. Abram's belief was in the character of God's unfailing faithfulness. Not just the words that God told Abraham. He put his faith in the character of the God of heaven who cannot fail, cannot lie. He will bring to pass what he says. Yes, so do I believe in the Lord as Abraham did? Can God tell me? And I put my faith shoes on and start walking. Even if I don't know where I'm going. It makes no human sense. Abraham hears the voice of God. We read that clearly in chapter 12. He not only hears, and I love it that the theme for the children is obedience. Obedience. He hears and he puts his shoes of faith on and he gets in bus 11 and off he goes. You know what bus 11 is? You were in the fall. What's bus 11? Walking. Walking. That's bus 11. He starts walking. By faith. Yeah. That comes from Clinton or Stephen. He puts his shoes of faith on and he does what God says. Abraham heard God's voice and he obeyed. Way back there in Genesis chapter 12, we read that God had said, and thus Abraham did. Most Christians today only know of what I call routine obedience. Routine obedience. Routinely, I don't curse. Routinely, I don't get angry. I do all the right things. Routinely, I don't smoke. Routinely, I don't do drugs. Routinely, I don't do drugs. Routinely, I don't do the wrong things. And routinely, I do the right things. Most Christians, that's where they're at. But that's not where Abraham was. Well, maybe he was. It's good to routinely do all the right things and not do the wrong things. Don't you misinterpret me. But the Christian life, faith, is more than that. Did not Jesus say, my sheep, come on, help me finish it. Hear my voice. And what do they do? But there's something that before that, and I know them, Jesus said, and they follow. That's right. That's Abraham's faith. He hears and he follows. I'm challenging myself. Do I hear God's voice? And do I follow? Do I obey? Abraham did. Yes. Abraham did. Unfortunately, many Christians know little to nothing of hearing the voice of God. God wants to speak to every one of us by His Spirit. In perhaps that still small voice. God wants to speak to each one of us. God often speaks, most often speaks through His Word. Sometimes it's through a sermon. Other times it's through a teaching. Other times it is through a still, small voice in our quiet time, perhaps. But that still, small voice of when God speaks will always be consistent with everything that is in His Word. Amen? Amen. It'll be consistent. This is Abraham. He walks by faith, hearing God's voice. A man that is a man of faith hears when God speaks, then with faith in God's character of faithfulness, unfailing faithfulness, obeys. Faith with shoes on. He does what God says. Abraham was 75 years old when he came into the land of Canaan. He came there with no definite destination. God promised Abraham all the land of Canaan. We find that in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. We also find it in Genesis 17, verse 8. How much of the land did Abraham ever own? Come on now, Bible readers. He had one piece. A grave. A grave. That's it, yes. All he ever owned in Canaan was a grave. You're right, Walter. You had it right, Walt. He was promised that his seed would multiply as the stars of the heaven, as the sands of the sea. He never seen more than one son and two grandsons. Finally, he had a son at 100 years of age, and then he was told to sacrifice that only son. God had forbidden murder whenever Cain killed Abel. Sacrificing his son is murder. Abraham knows it. Child sacrifice was a heathen practice. The nations around Abraham practiced this, and that was also forbidden. Now God says, Abraham, sacrifice your son. What did Abraham do? Come on now, what did he do? He gathered some wood and the fire, and he told his sons, his men, his servants, I and my son are going to the worship, and we will come again. You talk about faith. Faith. Yes, if there ever was a man that had any reason to question God and reject what God said, my, Abraham would have been that man. You realize there's nothing like this in all of Scripture. God could tell Abraham anything, and everything that God ever told Abraham made no human sense. No human, nothing. Abraham was a man of faith. He put his walking shoes on in faith, and he would do it. Obedience. Yes.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
One slide back, you said that it says, still small voice consistent with everything he said through his word. But Abraham found a still small voice that went against what God said. Now,
well, that's a good point.
I don't know what the answer is to that.
Well, Abraham didn't have any word to go by. Okay. Did he? Yeah, no, he didn't. We're in a different covenant or era of time. But Abraham is writing the word. His life is writing the word, yeah. But that's a good point. But you get it. Nothing that... You know, we were told the same thing. What we were doing made no sense. Anyhow, that's a good point. Thank any time, please. We're in this together. Yes. Okay, now where I'm at. Yeah. Yes, but God promises Abraham in Genesis 22:17 that I'm not going to get through with this one tonight. I didn't expect to. We'll finish Abraham tomorrow night. Come back with your papers and we'll tag Lot on the back. Lot's a lot shorter than Abraham. Abraham is a very key one. So I want to spend some time with this one. Yes, in Genesis 22:17, we have the promise of that God gave Abraham. 22:17, and that's what the picture is showing, says this. That in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations or all the families of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Yes. Let's go on. Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. You find that in Romans 4:17. As is it written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth or makes alive the dead, calleth those things which be as though they were not. Abraham knew that God can call those things that are not, and they be. Yes. But Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed that God was able to call those things which be not as though they were. He's seen them already done by faith. Abraham believed in hope when there was no hope. Abraham believed in the Lord. I and the lad go yonder to worship. 22 verse 5. Who had quoted that? Somebody had here. Yes. Let's look at this one. Somebody read Genesis 22 verse 5. The law of first mention principle. This is the first time worship is in the Bible. And Genesis has many laws of first mention. When you have a law of first mention, you want to stop and study it deeply. This is the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible. What is about the law of first mention? The first mention of worship, the law of first mention, listen carefully, is a principle of biblical interpretation which states the first mention or occurrence of a subject in the scripture establishes an unchangeable pattern throughout all of scripture and time. Old covenant, new covenant. Today. Now, the word worship, I'm going to stop here. Most Christians have no idea what worship means. You know, the churches of the evangelical, the extreme Pentecostal, on and on I go, they have no idea. But here is what worship means. Abraham gives us a beautiful picture of worship. He says, I and the lad are going to what? Worship. Worship. Worship means worth-ship or value-ship. Abraham was putting a staggering value on his God of faith that he believes in by being willing to sacrifice his only promised son and everything that God promised. Blessed like the stars of the heaven, innumerable numbers. And the sand of the sea. It's value ship. Abraham is putting a staggering value on God. He's willing to give his son, promised son, in worth, in putting value on God. So, the value of your sacrifice reveals your worth ship of God. The value of your sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of sin, sacrifice of this world's treasures, sacrifice of all my life, my future, my everything. I sacrifice it, and that is the value. The value of that is what this value we put on God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's worship. I suggest to you, when we say we're worshiping and we have no sacrifice, it's not marked by sacrifice. No value. I'll let you finish it. Perhaps it's not worship at all. Yes. There are a number of types of Christ in the Old Testament, but Abraham is the only type of God the Father giving His only Son, promised Son. Abraham believed God when nothing made sense. No human logic whatsoever. Abraham believed in the Lord. So faith like Abraham is always visible. If you cannot be seen in broad daylight, it's simply not there. I'm sorry, but I make no apologies. His faith can be seen in broad daylight. Obedience and faith are visible in broad daylight. All Abraham's servants seen it. And those watching him. We see it today. Wow! We say, such faith. You need not watch Abraham very long until you saw that he was totally dependent on a direction that was totally outside of himself. Man simply did not come up with these things that Abraham was doing out of his own will. And so it is yet today. Faith in God is visible in broad daylight. I challenge you with that. Faith in God is clearly seen. First bell, when Abraham believed in the Lord, his response was based on who said it and not what was said. Somehow, well, where did Abraham get this kind of faith? What do you think? Did he just pull that out of his hat? I mean, he couldn't read the scriptures like you and I can. Where did it come from? Relationship? That's really good. I know we don't have time for this. Okay. I think 7:55. I got 4 minutes. You see, it says Abraham was a prophet. Here we go. Here's what I want. Abraham was a prophet, it says in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. A prophet? What's a prophet? A prophet is a seer, it says in 1 Samuel 9:9. A man who sees things in the true and total perspective. A prophet does not just forecast future events. A prophet also looks back. And he sees the future clearly in the context of the past. And I'm thinking now of the faithfulness of God. Think with me. Noah had died 2 years before Abraham was born. Abraham's looking back. Shem, who was Noah's son, died 150 years after Abraham. Therefore, Noah's son, Shem and Abraham were contemporaries on the earth for 150 years. So, I suggest to you that Abraham sat down with Shem and said, Shem, tell me about your papa. How was it with your papa, Noah and the ark, when Noah heard God's voice? And Abraham, his heart began to well up with, yes, God is faithful. He's an unfailing, faithful God. he learned from Shem. But there's more. I believe Abraham had heard the stories of God's faithfulness by those men of old before him. Abram had nothing else to go by, and his heart welled up and said, I'm going to obey God. I can trust in the Lord. I'm still talking about faith in the Lord. And because he believed them, he developed tremendous insight. He believed because he had learned about God's unfailing faithfulness. He had nothing else to go by. Abraham could even see into the New Testament. The second bell didn't go yet, or did it? Okay, thank you. You need to help me, because I'm so full of this, I'm never going to get done. I just got to quit. Okay? But we'll pick up on it tomorrow night. He learns from those that went before. He learned of God's faithful character of those that went before him. Now, what I tell the young people usually in the IGO classroom is what we're learning here is learn from men that walk by faith. Get alongside of them and learn from them. That's what Abraham did, I suggest to you. And his faith grew and multiplied. Yes, all right. Abraham, Jesus said that Abraham seen him. Yes, he could see afar off. I'm going to stop there. Okay, we have no minutes. Any questions? Any thoughts? What do you want to say?
I was thinking of John 14, the very first verse, when you talk about believing in God or believing in God.
Yes.
Right there comes the important part for us is to believe in Jesus. You believe in God, believe also.
Exactly. And if I come, I will come again. Right? That's where you are, Glenn. Sure. Thank you. Exactly. There's much could be said. Thanks for your attention. Come back tomorrow night. Bring your papers back tomorrow night, and I'll give you another one. And lots. Thank you.